Well, hello everyone and welcome. I'm Bobby Laporte, CEO at Bobby Laporte & Associates and the host of Executive Aid Station. In today's competitive and dynamic executive marketplace, we believe that leadership is an endurance event, and we are here to help provide the support that today's leaders need. Our show guests are executives who have successfully achieved a balanced life, as well as experts who share their strategies for living and leading mindfully and for gaining a competitive edge in the workplace. My special guest today is Greg Corrali, who is COO of Hydro One, the largest utility in Ontario. Greg is an accomplished senior executive with more than three decades experience in the utility sector in energy transmission, distribution, and general operations. He has served in various roles across four of the largest investor-owned utilities in the US and Canada, and that includes Hydro One, Pacific Gas and Electric in California, which is where I met him, Commonwealth Edison, and Public Service PSE&G in New Jersey. Greg has a BS in Industrial Engineering from the New Jersey Institute of Technology and an MBA from Seton Hall. So Greg, welcome to the Executive Aid Station.
Bobby, thanks for having me. It's so great to be on your podcast, and I'm really looking forward to our discussion today.
As am I. Thank you again for your time. So
sure.
I mentioned at the beginning that in the introduction that you've served in various leadership roles in some of the largest investor-owned utilities in the U.S. So tell our listeners a little bit about your career journey, because you've clearly traversed the country from New Jersey to Chicago to San Francisco and now Ontario. So tell us about your career journey and what has kept you in the utility industry for your entire career.
I will tell you that it's been quite a ride, and it's gone awfully fast, quite frankly. And you know, my the introduction to the utility industry for me was really my father. He was a plumber and a pipe fitter working for the gas utility in New Jersey, PSE&G. And my oldest brother also worked in the construction department there for a few years. So my mom introduced me to engineering school at New Jersey Institute of Technology. And then, you know, once I became an engineer working for PSE&G, now we had three of our immediate family members all at the same company. And as an engineer, I was in management, and my father and my oldest brother were in the union. And just imagine the dinner conversations that we had. And that was probably my first introduction to kind of the union management relation. So it was in the family. And as I started to develop my career there at PSE&G and get a few years under my belt, you know, I felt a natural inclination for the societal good that a utility does, right? I mean, a lot of people take it for granted, the electricity that powers our lives every day. They flip on a switch and expect it to be there, but there's so much that goes into it. And it, quite frankly, improves the quality of our lives and of society. So that was a very attractive to me, that we were kind of providing and the industry provides such a societal benefit. And that's kept me there, as well as, quite frankly, lots of opportunities throughout my career. PSE&G offered me a lot of responsibility as a young engineer and young manager. And then opportunities kind of brought me across the country to Chicago, to San Francisco, and then here to Canada, of all places, to Ontario for the last couple of years.
Yeah. No, you've definitely logged a few miles in your career journey, for sure. So you mentioned that, you know, about the family, and I'm curious about what is some of the best advice that you received early on that has influenced your career? You obviously said a little bit about, you know, your father, but what else kind of got you started on this path and had influence for you?
Well, I'll revert one more time back to my dad. You know, he told me a great piece of advice he gave me. He said, you know, once I became an engineer working for the company that he worked for his whole life, right? He said, Greg, do the best job that you can, no matter what you're assigned. You're going to get asked to do some things that you really don't like doing, but if you do them all well, then you'll earn the respect of your bosses and others in the organization. You know, my mom, she was a little bit more blunt. She said, don't do anything half-assed. That was her guidance. So they were tough. They were tough Europeans, right? I mean, they came here as immigrants, right, and they built that hard work ethic in me. So the great advice taught me the values of working hard from an early age. And I've got to tell you then just the best piece of advice that I got once I was in college. And that has helped me throughout my career. One of my earliest industrial engineering professors, he shared with me and the class at the time, he said, look, if you learn to speak well in public and you learn written communication to write well your ideas, et cetera, then you'll be successful no matter what you do. And I got to tell you, no truer words were spoken. I got in, you know, that helped me get involved early on in the Speakers Bureau, which was a public speaking organization at PSE&G. And I started to develop and hone my skills in that regard. And even as an engineer, although there's a knock on us that maybe we're not good communicators, I learned to write well as well and take some effective writing classes. And in the leadership positions that we're in the utility industry, you're literally up in front of people almost every day, whether it's a right. small group meeting, a staff meeting, or it's an all-hands meeting of 100 people, or maybe it's several hundred people or 1,000 people in a room. So you constantly have the opportunity to speak and to communicate a message and provide direction and to communicate in writing. I mean, we're constantly putting together proposals to a board of directors or to senior management. Mm-hmm. If you can do that well in writing, right, and you can speak well and articulate your thoughts, it gives the folks that are listening to you a whole lot more confidence in you. So those yes. two things were some very specific advice that have really, I felt, served me well throughout my career.
They certainly sound like they have. The speaking and the communications is so important, particularly in some of the large organizations that you've led. There's so much change going on, even more so now. And I think the ability to, whether it's one-on-one or as you have been called on to do in front of large groups of people, to be able to, you know, talk to people about the changes coming and the plans for the organization and to build credibility and engagement with them. So the speaking success that you've had as a leader, I think has been really, really important.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, very important. So speaking about the utility industry, I know that you have a sort of credo that a leader should be willing to do the work that your employees do, to a certain extent anyway. I mean, I know that the utility industry has some pretty challenging and dangerous tasks. I know that you've been an engineer, but what for you, having been out in the field, tell us a story about one of the scariest or craziest or most dangerous or most challenging things that you've ever done.
Boy, well, I will say that early on, actually during my college summers, I worked in the gas construction department for a couple of years, a couple of summers, and doing the physical work. And that was before I became an engineer and started working in the business. But I never forget that I was actually working on a leaking gas main, and it was literally blowing medium pressure gas right at me and the other workers, right? I mean, that's what a leaking pipe does. And so I had to put on a respirator and get down in that hole and start to clean that pipe, and so we could put a clamp on it and stop this leak. And I remember as I was doing it, I had a full respirator on and all the gear.
Right.
I looked up for a minute and I saw the senior mechanic standing on top of the hole with a fire extinguisher pointing it at me. It obviously unnerved me. So when we were done and I got out of the hole, I said to him, what were you doing? He said, well, you know, just in case there was ignition and you turned into a ball of flame, I had to make sure that I was ready. And, you know, I was in shock, and I never forgot that, right? The potential yep. hazards associated with our industry. Now, fast forward many, many years, right? There's one example of that I think of when you ask about what's the one of the scarier things that I've done. And I did it because I wanted to feel what the workers actually feel every day when they're doing their jobs, right? I mean, I'm an engineer. I'm not someone who climbs poles or towers and grabs live electricity every day. But for me, I always want to appreciate and feel just a little bit, have a glimpse of what it is the people who do the physical labor in the field, what they have to go through every day. So we scheduled the training day while I was at Pacific Gas and Electric out in California. And I went to the training center and they set up a whole day for me where I did a variety of tasks. I actually went up in a bucket 50 feet in the air and worked on 21,000 volts of electricity. Wow. And that was pretty scary.
I bet.
But by far the scariest thing I did that day was I was dropped onto a transmission tower in that training yard from a helicopter dangling from a rope. And it's what they call long lining in the industry. And the workers love it. They just envy that assignment. And when they found out that the vice president at the time did that, I had like instant credibility with them. They loved that kind of work. And, you know, I did it. And I will tell you, I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't scared. I was. But I did it, and I'm glad I did, because, again, now I can actually feel and appreciate a little bit of what our workers do every day to provide service to customers.
Right. Because it's such a, as you've reminded me many times, it's, you know, it's such a dangerous industry. And I think, as you said in the beginning, one of the things that drove you to be in the industry and to stay is because of the benefit that it provides to society. And again, I do think we take, you know, as you said, turning on the light switch for granted. But it's also been a hallmark of your career that you really enjoy the operational aspects of it. You love being in the field and close to employees. And in situations like this, you, as you said, you get instant credibility. But what else has your interest in being, by rolling up your sleeves and your interest in being in the field, how else do you think that has been benefited you as a leader?
You know, I know based on our previous conversations, you know this about me. I'm a leader who lives by principles. And I would say that one of the principles that I live by is seeing things for yourself. I don't like to see things or hear about things second, third, fourth hand from someone else. I think seeing employees where they work on the job, whether it's in the office, up on a pole, or in a substation, it's critical for building relationships. You know, employees can't necessarily come to where we work every day in the corporate office, right. But we, as leaders, we can go see them. So, in fact, I think it's our job to. We're responsible and accountable for the employees that work within our organization. And at the end of the day, the employees in our industry, in the utility industry, I think they're extremely dedicated and committed.
Yes.
And they love what they do every day. So they don't need a lot of inspiration and motivation necessarily to perform their craft. They love it. But what they do want, I think, from management is to know that we care, you know, that we respect and that we recognize them for the important work that they do. It's meaningful to employees when you can shake their hand, introduce yourself, look them in the eye and say thank you for a job well done. So I think building that kind of relationship, it creates a culture of open, honest, transparent communication. It allows and makes employees feel that they can communicate with you and share issues with you. And that's important because there are issues in this business every day. And if you don't know about them, then you can't fix them. So the last thing you want is for problems in the field to be shut down. And I think by building that relationship with employees, going out there, seeing things for yourself, cutting through the layers of management, it's validation for you as a leader about everything else that people are telling you about what's going on in the business. So,
and I think that just switching gears a little bit about how that helped to inform over the years, your, what I'll call your leadership journey, because I sense that you've transformed from what I'll call a more traditional leadership style, which I think is also very common in, you know, mature legacy industries like utilities, to a profile now that I think is a lot more self-aware, open to other people's perspectives. Like you said, sitting down with people, getting the information directly from them, which I think is probably fairly unusual in a legacy industry like utilities. So was there a particular impetus or a point in your career where you realized that you needed to shift and that this more contemporary leadership style was going to be more effective for you? How did that happen?
Well, I don't know if there was a specific moment in time. I was exposed, I think, to some really good bosses and perspectives on leadership and management early in my career. And, you know, you don't know it at the time when you're coming up as a young person in an organization. You're learning, you're being a sponge, you're trying to observe and evaluate. So I think it's, for me, it's probably been more of an evolution and a maturing journey of leadership rather than a specific moment in time or an event that caused me to kind of be the way I am as a leader. You know, we've all seen the management, the various management programs of the past, whether it's a total quality management style or management by walking around. Leadership models have evolved. I certainly subscribe to the situational leadership model, where, you know, you adapt your leadership style to the situation at hand, whether you need to be more directive in some instances, more supportive in other instances, more of in a coaching format in other instances. Mm-hmm. And as I had mentioned previously, I'm also, a principles-based leader. I've learned that it's critical. And I'm an avid reader and observer, and I've learned it's critical that you got to get the right people on the bus.
Yes, you do.
The right team in place, set the bar high, see things for yourself, right? Don't accept excuses for poor performance. Get that team aligned and to strive for excellence. You know, those are some of the principles I've lived by. And I've learned from lots of terrific bosses and mentors over the year. And I've seen what's worked and maybe what hasn't worked. And, you know, it's a process of iteration, right? And taking risks and taking on challenges and seeing what works and what doesn't.
So you mentioned books. Is there something you've read recently that you've been particularly intrigued by that you can share with our listeners?
There is. I always go back, and I've people have asked me before what one of my favorites is, and it's my all-time favorite is Leadership by Rudy Giuliani. Now, that's back in 2002 it was published. And he's another principles-based leader, right? And it's a great leadership story of him as mayor of New York City for two terms and then his whole leadership during the 9/11 incident. And it's just a great read and a great story. But he's another kind of performance-based leader who leads by example and and he's principle-based. I will tell you, the one I read more recently that I'm a fan of, and I want to read it again and again, is called The Railroader by Howard Green.
Really?
And it's the story of Hunter Harrison. He's a four-time railroad CEO. And Illinois Central, Canadian National, Canadian Pacific, and then CSX Railroad was the last one that he was CEO of. And again, it's a great read. It's kind of an inside look at, quite frankly, a very controversial leader. He's hated by a lot of employees, but he's loved by shareholders. Why? Because over his tenure, he created over $50 billion of shareholder value. He was focused on key principles again: service, safety, cost, assets. Mm-hmm. And that's what drove him every day. And he felt like he was obligated to do that for all the stakeholders, right? For shareholders, for customers, for employees. And it was in a fairly traditional industry, the railroad industry, which is probably similar in that regard to the utility industry, where the culture was the same for a long time. And now he came in and had to, you know, literally turn it upside down. But it's a real interesting read, a behind the scenes look. They interview board members, and it's just kind of a great leadership story, I think. But it's certainly controversial, and some people love him and some people hate him, but it was a great read.
So, and this is something you read recently?
It is, yes. Just probably within the last, I would say, 6 months.
Ah, all right. Well, that one I haven't heard of, so I'll have to check that one out. So before we wrap up here, I wanted to just talk to you about what's next for you, right? So I know you're moving on to the next chapter in your career / life, maybe less time on airplanes. So what are you looking forward to?
I more than anything, I'm looking forward to spend some time with the family, some quality time back in Arizona. Both daughters will be finishing up their sophomore and junior years in a couple of weeks. And before they start their summer internships, we're going to do a little family vacation, maybe head up to the Grand Canyon and Hoover Dam. And as prospective engineers, I think my daughters will absolutely love it. I'm certainly hoping so. But beyond that, you know, my wife Patty and I, we're gonna take a longer road trip once the girls get into their internships and maybe see some national parks. The point is, I want to decompress a little bit.
Yes.
I've been in the industry now for 33 years, 4 different companies, 2 different countries, and a lot of transformational work. And I may consult a little bit, but I certainly want to decompress, spend time with the family, maybe ride the motorcycle a little bit, and then, you know, look for the right opportunities moving forward. I am certainly not done by any means. I feel like I have just as much energy as the day I started in this industry. And I'm quite frankly looking forward to do a lot more fun things, like doing some public speaking, maybe starting my own podcast. And I probably can learn from you and others in that regard. And just doing some things that, quite frankly, I enjoy and trying to give back a bit of what I've learned over 33 years. We've got co-op students here that I speak to and whatnot, and they're looking for career advice. And I feel I've talked to them a number of times, and it feels great to be able to give back to them. Here's some advice that I think will be helpful to you as you navigate through corporate North America, so to speak.
Well, you've certainly earned the right to take a break and decompress, but you also, I think, have a lot to share and for others to learn from. So I definitely wish you all the best, and I hope that you will somehow find opportunities to speak and publish your leadership profile and your thoughts and be able to continue to share with people the lessons that that you've learned throughout your career.
Should be fun. Yeah, absolutely. And this has been great. And I will say you've been a terrific coach for me, especially over the last few years during some transitional time for me. You've been very helpful to me, and I very much appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I always enjoy talking to you, and have, as you know, I've definitely enjoyed working with you over the last few years. So I hope that we will, in that respect, we'll be able to continue the conversation.
Absolutely.
It's definitely been a pleasure having you on the show today. I have really enjoyed our conversation and appreciate all your insights and advice for our listeners as they navigate their own leadership journey. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. That's it for today's show. Please visit our website, bobbylaporte.com, and sign up for our Executive Aid Station updates. I look forward to sharing our next episode of the Executive Aid Station, so stay tuned.